Okay, let's begin. Since we just learned Megillah, let me tell you a var at the beginning of the parasha that relates to Megillah. Let's continue where we left off. The beginning of the parasha begins the parasha to play chess.
Did you play chess last night?
I actually went
to play with There's no such thing as nittel from Hillel. On the other hand, the Megala Amukois says that there's how many days are there in a year in the solar year? 365 and how what else? And 6 hours. Yaakov and six hours. Yaakov Avinu. What is Yaakov Avinu multiplied? Yaakov Avinu multiplied by 12. Why is it 12? What is Yaakov multiplied by?
Yeah.
What?
182.
Okay, I don't remember. I've forgotten the number. There's a calculation of 364. I remember. There's a calculation of gematria of 364, which leaves over a day and 6 hours. The day is for Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av you don't learn, and the 6 hours of nittel not to learn. We mentioned that.
Megala writes then.
Megala Mukos writes that there's a calculation that you're only supposed to learn 364 days a year. So and what's lacking? One day plus 6 hours. So those days are conferred to avelos. We discussed this. The main reason why you don't learn during nittel is because it's avelos. Just like you don't learn during Tisha B'Av, the churban beis hamikdash, the rivers of blood that have been spilled due to the Christians is a time of when we are in avelos. So that's one of the main time why learning was not done on the night of Megillah. Okay, let's go to the sixth parasha. We're learning Megillah. So let me tell you what that relates to the Megillah. Parashas Vayechi is a very, very it's a very important week. This week is the first Chazak. Chazak v'nis chazek. It's the seam of Chumash Bereishis this week. A seam is not just. It's not on. The microphone is not on. Oh. Turn up higher. It's not working. Okay, it's as loud as it goes. I have it here as loud as it goes. It's better. It's when we a seam. The purpose of a seam is not just to conclude the last page of Gemara, the last pasuk of the Chumash. The purpose of a seam is to be koilel, to join together everything that you've learned, everything that you have learned from the beginning until the end. And therefore, when we learn Parashas Vayechi is the seam of Chumash Bereishis. We are bringing together all 12 parashios. The entire Chumash Bereishis is comprised of 12 parashios. All of these 12 parashios, the Shabbos, they come together. And it's interesting, the significance of coming together is actually found by the Birchas Yaakov. Yaakov, after he gives the bracha, the pasuk concludes, Kol Eile Shiftei Yisrael, Shnei Masar, V'zos Asher Diber Lochem Aviyem Vayivarech Oysam, Ish Asher Kivirchoso Berach Oysam. And there's a long Rashi here. Rashi's point here is that don't think that all of the brachas that Yaakov Avinu gave to each individual was only for that individual. The brachas that Yaakov gave to each individual applies to the entire Klal Yisrael. I will use some of the words of Rashi. Berach Oysam. Lo Hoyol Oloim Or Ela Ish Asher Kivirchoso Berach Oysam. Why does the pasuk say the word osam? Why does it should say the word oso? My tamulema berach osam lefi shenosan liyehuda gevuras ari. He compared Yehuda to a lion. Ul binyamin chatifasay shel zeev, the grabbing of a wolf. Ul naftali kalusa shel ayala, the swiftness of the ayala. Yachol Shaloi Kolulan Kulam B'chol HaBrachos. Each one only got their bracha; they did not get the bracha of their fellow. Talmaloimar Beirach Oysam. Everyone in Klal Yisrael is part of the group. Everyone benefits from their friend. This is what he did to the 12 Shvatim. He gave everyone an individual bracha, and after he gave them an individual bracha, he blessed them all as one cohesive unit. There are 12 Shvatim, and there are 12 Parshios. I've yet to find someone that makes a relationship between the 12 Parshios and the 12 Shvatim, the Chumash Bereishis. But when you make a seam is not just the end of a Seder. A Siyam, the Koyach of a Siyam, Chazak, Chazak, Venis, Chazek, is to take everything that you've learned, everything that you've done, accomplished in these last 12 weeks, and put them all together. Which means that in this week's Parsha, we are reviewing Maisa Bereishis, Avraham, Yitzchak, V'Yaakov, the Maisa of all the Shvatim, the beginning of the Golis. Everything comes together, and the Koyachos of Maisa Bereishis and the Avos are all here with us on the Shabbos. This is the significance. It's the Sefer HaYashar, Chumash Bereish, the Sefer HaYashar, which includes all of the different ideas that have been related, and the Siyam is a very significant event. Now, on that note, or the Parsha begins, is a Parsha Stuma. The Parsha begins, Rashi tells us, Lama Parsha Zo Stuma, why are there no blank spaces between the beginning of the Parsha and Vayechi Yaakov? There should be at least some space, at least there should be a Parsha Psucha, Parsha Stuma, there should at least be 9 blank spaces. So Rashi says, Lefi Shekevon Sheniftar Yaakov Avinu, Nistamu Einehem V'libam Shel Yisrael, Nitzaras HaShibud. Once he was Nifter, the Shibud began, and the hearts and the eyes, the eyes and the hearts of Klal Yisrael were sealed due to the difficulty of the Shibud. Sheheschilu l'shabdam, they began to enslave them. Dover acher, shebikesh legalos es haketz, libanov v'nista mimenu, he wished to reveal the ketz hayamin when Mashiach will come, and it was held back from him. So Parshas Vayechi is a Parsha Stuma. Why in general do we have blank space between two different sections of the Torah? So Chazal says, it's a Gemara, Litein Revach Lehispoinein Bein Inyin Leinyin. A human being can only absorb that much information. A person needs a break in order to absorb what he has gained. Some explain that's the reason why Hashem created this thing called sleep. Why did Hashem create a world for a person who goes to sleep at night? When a person goes to sleep, it gives the mind the ability to absorb. Revach lehispoinein bein inyin leinyin. If we think that if we would not have to fall asleep, we would be able to work 24/7, we would be more productive. It's not necessarily so. The koyach of going to sleep and shutting down is an incredible bracha. The productivity of a human being is infinitely enhanced because we have this period during the day where we're able to reflect. The mind subconsciously reflects what has transpired in the last 24 hours. It puts it in perspective and can radically changes our outlook for the future. If you don't have that ability, that breakpoint in the middle of the night, that those hours where you have the ability, revach l'spayin le'inyin l'inyin, you'll just keep on going off the cliff. You're not going to be able to produce. The world would be far inferior to what it is today if not for the fact that Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us the gift of sleep. Hashem gave Klal Yisrael Shabbos for that reason. Klal Yisrael have one thing above the Umos Olam. The Umos Olam have a Shabbos every single day. They go to sleep. 6 to 8 hours, you go to sleep. But Klal Yisrael, Hashem gave them an additional moment of Revach L'Hispoinein Inyin L'Inyin, Shabbos Kodesh. Shabbos Kodesh is where we have this Revach L'Hispoinein on spiritual matters to reassess, to recalibrate our trajectory in life, in Yoni Ruchnias. This is what Klal Yisrael has and the Ummah Salam do not have. The tzara of galus is what is the churban of galus? What do we have in the Torah? In the Torah we have a revach lehispoinein ben inyin lin. In between every parsha, there's blank space. Either it's a parsha stuma, 9 blank spaces, a parsha psucha, the next parsha begins on the next line, and there's more than 9 spaces. The point is, when Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu the Torah, there were breaks. There was time to reflect, to absorb the information. What is the churban? Define the essence of galus. What is galus? The churban of galus is we don't have that revach lehispoinein ben inyin leinyin. We don't understand why things happen. We don't understand how to go forward. The reason why we're lost in galus, we don't know how to go forward, is because we are not able to absorb the information, the events, understand the significance of the events that have happened in the past. This is the essence of galus. Not having the revach the open frame of mind, l'hisplaining what is happening in this world, why are bad things happening, what is this all about. This is the symbolic meaning of why Parshas Vayechi is a Parshas Stuma. Parshas Vayechi begins the Golos. Yaakov Avinu dies. The Shibud begins. The Jewish people are now enslaved. Gradually, they begin enslaved. The time of Mashiach is concealed, Rashi says. We don't know when it's going to come. We are in Golis. What is the problem of being in Golis? It's a Parsha Stuma. The essence of Golis is you don't have the Revach lehispoinein bein inyin leinyin. You don't have that ability to reflect and to understand what HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mo Hashem Elokecha Shoyel Me'imach. Now, to prove that, let's elaborate upon this. Yitzias Mitzrayim, the Golus began. Now, let's just jump to the end. What was the end of Yitzias Mitzrayim? Kriyas Yamsuf. How did Klal Yisrael celebrate Kriyas Yamsuf? With the Shira. How is the Shira written? Ariach al gabe levena. It's written with open spaces. Major blocks of open spaces. What is the significance of the major blocks of open space in the Shiras Az Yashir? At a time of Geula is the ultimate moment of understanding, in hindsight, what exactly, why everything happened, how all the pieces of the puzzle came together to create one major event. That's why the Shira has all of the open spaces. L'umas, the Golis, so we know, in other words, we're comparing Parshas Vayechi, which is the very beginning of Golis, to Parshas Oz Yashir, which is the very end of Geula, which is Geula. And the two are extreme opposites. Oz Yashir are major open spaces in between each section, because we had the revelation of understanding the Revach L'Sponin, why things happened, why everything had to happen the way it did, relative to the beginning of Golus and Parash Vayechi, where it starts off Parash Sosim, where we don't have that openness to understand why things are happening at the time. As things happen, we don't know why it happened. When Klal Yisrael came near the time of Geula, we know it came in stages. Chazal say that the Shibud ended Rosh Hashanah, 6 months before the actual Geula. The Geula took place on Pesach, the Lel Pesach, but for 6 months prior to the Geula, already they were no longer enslaved. Why was that necessary? That was already the beginning of the Geula. The Geula has to come with the Revach, has to come with time, space, where a person has the ability to reflect. Why exactly is this happening? The Geula of Yitzias Mitzrayim, Chazal say, was incomplete. Why was it incomplete? Because it's not the Geula Shlema. Moshe actually demanded, Shlach na biyat tishlach. This is not going to be the ultimate Geula. The ultimate Geula will be the time of Mashiach. How do we see that this Geula was not the ultimate Geula, even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us respite, gave us 6 months to prepare, but when the moment actually came, it was Ki b'chipazon yotzasa me'eretz Mitzrayim. The moment of the Exodus was b'chipazon, with swiftness. You have to have your walking staff, you have to have your shoes, makelchem b'yetchem, na'alechem b'raglechem, you have to eat the Korban Pesach, which is symbolic of Gula, in a state of swiftness, of chipazon. Why? Because to indicate it's Geula, and a necessary ingredient of Geula is revach lehispoinein, relaxation, not to be forced, but, and even though Hashem gave Klal Yisrael 6 months in advance, the revach lehispoinein, but the actual moment was still b'chipazon to indicate that this is not the end. What does it say about the Geula Hasida? It's a pasuk in Navi, I don't remember where, ki loy b'chipazon teitze. You will not leave the Golus b'chipazon. You know where the pasuk is? It's one of the Haftaris. Ki loy b'chipazon. When the Geula Hasida comes, it's going to be gradual. Because the Geula Hasida, the completeness, will be with Revach Lehispoinein. Okay, so this is the basic idea of why it's a Parasha Stuma. The only thing I want to tie into the Megillah, and the Megillah, when Mordechai says to Esther, if you're not going to help me and do what I tell you to do, don't worry, Hashem, harbe shluchim lamakayim. Revach the Hatzalah Yamod La Yehudim Mimokoim Acher. Why did Mordechai have to add the word Revach? All Mordechai had to say was, if you're not going to help, don't worry. Hatzalah Yamod La Yehudim Mimokoim Acher. What is the expression of Revach? Because this is all part of Geula. Golos is Parsha Sosom. There's no revach lehispoinin, revach lehispoinin be'inyin le'inyin. Oz Yashir is the geula. It's Oz Yashir. They're big open spaces. Now we have an appreciation. We're able to absorb what happened. There's revach. When Mordechai describes the geula ha-geula that's coming, it's described in terms of revach, because that's a necessary ingredient in order to understand why things are happening the way they do. So let's go to another idea. Someone told me the following thing yesterday. I think it's very, very, very nice, opens up a whole new world. And this week, Parashas Vayechi, we're going to express the theme of chizuk. Today we live in a world where everyone needs chizuk. There are rashivas that are coming from this community to New York to give chizuk. Ever look at the signs? And there are rashivas coming to Queens, and everyone is running around to give chizuk. It's the word of the generation. Divrei chizuk. When mechaved so-and-so to give divrei chizuk. And this week is unique because we focus on chizuk three times. Yisroel, Yaakov Avinu, when he was about to, at the end of his life, when he calls Yosef to come, he calls over your son Yosef, and he comes, Vayishazek Yisrael, Vayeshev al Hamita. Yisroel was mechazek himself. And Rashi says, why? It's his father, Kavod HaMalchus, Sderech Eretz, Vayishazek Yisrael, Vayeshev al Hamita. When will we have this week's parasha, the second theme of Chizuk? When we conclude. Chazak, chazak, v'nis chazek. After the last pasuk, when Yosef is buried and they put his body in an Aron v'Mitzrayim, chazak, chazak, v'nis chazek. When do we encounter the third ingredient, the third degree of chizuk? In the Haftorah. What is the Haftorah of Parshas Vayechi? The Haftorah of Parshas Vayechi is Vayikruvu Yimei David Lamos. David is about to die, and he calls over his son Shlomo, and he gives him over instructions how he should conduct himself in his malchus. Vayitzav Shlomo bino leimor Anochi olech lebederech kol aretz v'chozakto v'hoyisolo ish. So this week is unique. You're not going to have this again for another year. Habolein l'toiva. You could have a parsha where you have three madregos of chizuk. Vayischazek Yisrael, chazak chazak v'nischazek, v'chazakta v'choyisol ish. What is the significance of a triple chazak? What's the significance? So I'll tell you two mahalchim. First, alderich, really one and the same. The first alderich pshat is one is the past, one is the present, and one is the future. Vayischazek Yisrael, vayeshev al hamita. Yisrael represents Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu here is giving over his last words, his last bracha to Yosef. He ne'avicha choleh. The time has come. Your father is about to die. He's ill. He wants to part with you. So who is the one that is being mechazek himself? Yisrael. So we learn from him that when we want to focus on the past, our heritage, the legacy of Klal Yisrael, it requires chizuk. If you're not mechazek the past, it's going to slip away. You're going to lose the lessons, you're going to lose the legacy, the heritage. Everything in this world needs chizuk. And certainly to preserve the beautiful heritage of the past, it requires chizuk. We come to the end of the parasha, Yosef dies, we're reenacting the Yitzias Mitzrayim, Yosef dies, it's for us. Chazak, chazak, v'nis chazek. Where are we holding? The Chumash Bereishis ends. Yosef dies. They put his body in the Aron. And here we are. We're left all alone. Here we are. We're the survivors. Chazak, chazak, v'nis chazek. The present needs chizak. To survive in the present today, you have to be mechazek yourself. And then very simply, here Shlomo is dying. David is dying. And he's telling the little boy, how old was Shlomo at this point in time? 12 years old. The future! When it comes to the plan for the future, you have to be mechazek. You just can't. It's not going to happen by itself. If you don't mechazek yourself in the future, it's not going to succeed. It's very yisoidistic. Three yisoidists of chizuk in this parasha: the past, the present, the future. Along the same lines, there is another triple, another trio in this parasha. And there are three times in this parasha when the Shechina departs. The first time the Shechina departs is when we learn is that it's a Parsha Stuma. Why is it a Parsha Stuma? Because he wanted to reveal, he wanted Yaakov, because Kevon, Lefisha Kevon, Shnifta Yaakov Avinu, Nistimu Einayim Libam Shal Yisrael, Nistimu Einayim Libam Shal Yisrael, with the Petira of Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu's Petira, Nistimu Einayim, their eyes closed, their hearts closed, Mitzaras Hashibut Sheskil Shabdam. There was a degree of his staklos, closing up. There was a sesima closing up when with the petir of Yaakov Avinu. The second time that the Shechina departed in this week's parasha is when Yaakov wanted to give a bracha to Ephraim and Menashe. Yosef brings Ephraim and Menashe. He's about to give a bracha, and he says, "Who are these people? I'm not giving them bracha." What were the words? What are the words? Kochel v'avarechim. Miela. Rashi says, "Are they not royal lebracha?" They're not, because from Ephraim is going to come Yeram ben Nevada Nachav, and from Menashe is Yehu. They're not royal lebracha. The Shechina was nistalik. There's no bracha. Until Yosef says, no, they're good, I'm married, here's my ksuba, and he's in Mispal Rashi, he says, and the Shechina comes back. The third time that the Shechina was nistalik was, hey, Asfu, v'yagidu lechem eis asher yikre, the achris hayamim. And he's about to give him the brachas, and what happens? All of a sudden, the Shechina's nistalik. Hashem doesn't want me to tell you when Mashiach is going to come. So, Hafle Mefela, we have here in this week's parasha, three different degrees of histaklus Hashchina. The petira of Yaakov Avinu, Nistamu Einehem Belibam, that also, we're liberally saying that refers to the Staklus HaShechina, the Shechina is in the person's heart, outlook, Ein Shechina Shoyle Elimitach Simcha, the Yaakov Avinu's Petira, the Shechina was Nistalik. Ephraim and Yaakov, as they wanted to get Bracha, Nistalik. He also v'yagidu lechem b'amag yikra b'achris hayonim staklus hashchina. My high was, so I want to suggest, that's why Hashem made it up to us. He gave us a triple chizuk, because the three also refer to the past, the present, and the future. Yaakov Avinu is the past. Yaakov Avinu is the one that laid the foundation for Klal Yisrael. He's the builder, he's the architect of Klal Yisrael. He's the past. Ephraim and Menashe, b'cho yivorech Yisrael yisimcha lakim ki Ephraim and Menashe. They are symbolic of the present. Every, the pasuk says explicitly, every parent, when he comes to bless his children, you should be like Ephraim and Menashe. That means when every parent comes to give a bracha to his child, there's a shocking thing to say, but when every parent comes to give a bracha to a child, chas v'shalom, this potential, estaklus hashchina. Are they royal bracha? Miele. Have you raised your children in a way where they're deserving a bracha? It's a frightening thing. You have to be royal. You have to be mispalel that they should be royal bracha. You have to be mispalel. Ephraim and Menashe is the bracha that you give to the children in the present. And then, hey, osvu, v'yagidu lechem esa sheyikre bi'achris hayam is the future. Estaklus HaShechina. It's a frightening parasha. In this week's parasha, we learn the Shechina departed in the past. It departs in the present when we're not roy. And when we're coming over here to deal with our children, we're not roy, there can be Estaklus HaShechina. And when it comes to the future, who says that we're roy for the future? The Estaklus HaShechina. Zeh l'uma zeh. In this week's parasha, we have the three forms of Chizuk. Vayischazik Yisrael vayeshev al hamita. Chazak, chazak, v'nitzchazek, v'chazak to, v'hoyisso lo'ish. Hashem is always a balance. Hashem gave us the antidote. Was borrowed the refuah, called him the makkah, in order to prepare us for this week's parasha.
Which is the past?
The past is Yisrael. The past is Yaakov Avinu's petira. Yaakov, the first Rashi. Yaakov Avinu with his petira, nistamu einayim v'libam shel Yisrael mitzaras hashibud. The present is Ephraim and Menashe. B'chol yivarach, every time in the history of Klal Yisrael, you want to give a bracha to your children, which means the present. Hayoim, you give them Ephraim and Menashe. And what happened when he wanted to bless Ephraim and Menashe? Staklus Hashchina. He had to work hard to bring it back. And then Mashiach, that's the future. So if we have over here three forms of Chizuk, three forms of Staklus Hashchina, and we're hoping that the Chizuk will overpower the Staklus Hashchina. Shechina should only be present with us. Okay, let me tell you a joke. Let me tell you a joke before I tell you this var. It's not a full var. There's nothing to think about. It's a joke. When I heard the joke, I thought it was so foolish. It was so foolish. I laughed at the foolishness of the joke. But here I am. I'm telling it over because I have nothing else to say. What? No, it's actually not. This joke is actually not kosher Pesach. This is a foolish. You didn't hear it from me. You didn't hear it from me. So this is off the record. The joke is my brother said this to me later. He said to me, he's thinking a lot of Litzan and stuff. So he said to me, the Rebbe. There was once a Rebbe, a holy Rebbe. He was sitting with the Hasidim, and he said, it was Shabbos, and they had the kishka on the table and the kugel. They had the kugel and the kishka, and he said, no chal, that's not healthy. Chal is not healthy. Only kishka. Kishka is even more poisonous. It's even more poisonous, right? He had the kishka, and he said to the Hasidim, so Shabbos is Gan Eden. It's Gan Eden Shabbos. What more could there be in Olam Haba that we don't already have in this world? We already have the kishka and the kugel. We already. By the way, how do you spell kishka in Hebrew? With a kuf or a chaf?
It's your choice.
Okay. I'm making believe now, for the sake of this vart, that's what my brother told it to me, for the sake with a chaf. With a chaf. Okay, I know it's wrong. Not necessarily, but let's make. Anyway, it's a joke. Anyway, it's a joke. Okay, with a chaf, okay, they always sound the same. The kugel and the kishka. So the Rebbe says, what more could we need in Olam Haba? We already have the kugel and the kishka. We already have everything. So the Rebbe said, I'll tell you the difference. In this world, it's kugel and kishka with a chaf. The chaf is the chaf hadimyoin. It's ku. In the Olam IMS, it's Igel and Ishka without the Chaf. The Chaf is the Chaf Hadimyoi, right? It's Kil. It's a prefix. Like, it's a prefix. It's a prefix. So it's going to be, in the Olam IMS, you'll be sitting around the table and you'll be eating the Ishka. And you'll be eating the eagle. Okay, it's a foolish joke. I told you, I never said this. Yeah. It's off the record. Now, the reason why I'm telling this to you is because the reason why you all agree. The only reason why I'm telling you this is because of the next part. It's just as an hagdama to open up our minds to the next part, which is much more serious, which requires bayur, which I cannot provide. So have to think about. Yaakov Avinu calls his children. He says, "Hey, also v'agid lechem eis asher yikra eschem bi'achris hayom." What happens? The Shechina is nostalgic. Yaakov Avinu says, "It's bad news. It must be that there's someone here who is a Baal Avera. It cannot be that the Shechina is nostalgic if you're old tzaddikim. It has to be over here. Someone secretly is doing sins, and that's why the Shechina is nostalgic." All of Yaakov's children unanimously respond, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. And that statement convinced Yaakov Avinu that indeed, they're all tzaddikim, and Achnami, I stand corrected, I made a mistake, you're all tzaddikim, and the reason why the Shechina was nostalgic is because Hashem does not want me to reveal you the moment of Geula, so you're right, I take it back, you're tzaddikim. And Yaakov Avinu, as an expression of Shevach to the Ribbono Shel Olam, he said something to thank Hashem that indeed my children are tzaddikim. And there's a machlek, is exactly what he said. It's not a machlek, it's just two different versions. There's what it says in the Gemara, and what it says in the Targum Yonasan Ben Uziel. The Gemara says that Yaakov Avinu in response said, Baruch Shem Kivoid Malchuso Li'olam Vo'ed. In the Targum Yonasan Ben Uziel, it says, what did Yaakov respond? Yehei Shmei Rabba Mivarach Li'olam Uli'olmeil Maya. And the commentators said that basically it's the same thing, because what is Yehei Shmei Rabba? Yehei Shmei Rabba basically is a translation of Baruch Shem Kod Malchuso Li'olam Vo'ed. So what do we now, but even though it's a translation, Halacha L'maisa, what do? We say Yehei Shmei Rabba multiple times during the day, multiple times, every time Kaddish is recited, that's the part of Kaddish, and it's filled with symbolism and number letters, how many letters, 28 letters, there's all the Torah, we all know the Torah, the Kedusha, you say, Yehei Shmei Rabba, you go to Gan Eden, it's an Alif of the Neshama, v'chulu v'chulu. Baruch Shem is already a little dangerous game. We say Baruch Shem, but quietly, only on Yom Kippur. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't say it, but Yaakov said it, so if we make up sure, we say it quietly.
Yehei Shmei Rabba, we say it
only out loud. Adarab, Chazal say you're supposed to scream. We don't scream, but you're supposed to call koichai. The call koichai. The call ram. The call koichai. There's never. There's never an exception to saying Yishma Rabba loud. The call koichai. The call ram. And when it comes to Baruch Shem, still a hate. But it's a machlekas. What did Yaakov Avinu say? What, if we don't have the videotape, what happened? Did he say Baruch Shem? Did he say Yehishmei Rabba? Whatever it is, machlokes from the Gemara, two different traditions, and the Targum, and all the commentators say it's basically the same thing. But it's not the same thing, because there's a fundamental difference. And again, what I'm telling you now is not a complete var. It's just something to think about. The question is, it's not the same. The difference is Kvod Malchuso. That only appears in Baruch Shem, but does not appear in Yehishmei Rabba. If take the six words Baruch Shem Kivod Malchuso Li'olam Voed. Take out the words Kivod Malchuso. Baruch Shem Malchuso. Baruch Shem Li'olam Voed. Kivod Malchuso. Now Yehi Shmei Rabba. That's Baruch Mevarach. That's Baruch Shem Li'olam Uliol Milmaya. So basically, the Yehi Shmei Rabba is a translation of Baruch Shem Li'olam Voed. May Hashem's name be blessed Li'olam Voed. Where does Kivod Malchuso come into the picture? That is something that is only in the Baruch Shem. Does not appear in the Yehi Shmei Rabba. So here is my suggestion, not a suggestion, just something, an idea to throw out to think about. I saw this, the Mepharshim tell us something very, Baruch Shem Kamalchus of Ilum Voed, very often is referred to by the Rosh Tevis. Beis, the Rosh Tevis, Beis, the six letters, Baruch, Chav, Kvod, Mem is Malchuso, Lamed, Li'olam, Voed, Voed. All the Rosh Tevos of Baruch Shem Kvod Malchuso Li'olam Voed all have in common, they're all prefixes. These are the only letters used in the Aleph Beis as a prefix. Biyom, Kichol, Lo, Mo, Vo. All of these six letters are the six letters in the Aleph Beis which serve as prefixes, which means they're not the Iker. They're not used always as the Sharish. They're not used. They're there just to connect it to another word or to serve as a dimyon, a chaf, or a lamed, or a mem. It's a dimyon to enhance the word, but it's not the ikr. It's not the essence. So maybe here is where the difference applies. Being that Baruch Shem Kvod Malchuso Li'olam Voed begins every single, it's a significant matter which cannot be ignored. Every single letter, every single word of these six words begins with a prefix, which is a letter which means it's not the real thing. We're trying to connect to the real thing. That downgrades what we're trying to describe.
Even say it quietly.
And we say quietly as well. Yehi Shmei Rabba has the advantage of it's explicit. It's explicit. Yehi Shmei Rabba. There are no prefixes. It's the real deal. And we say it b'kol rum. Yehi Shmei Rabba. Okay, the mem. Even though there is the mivarach b'nechnami, but since already one is not, it's not all the same. Since already they're not. Then most of them are not prefixes. It's an explicit expression. So it turns out that maybe that's the difference. The reason, because when we say kivod malchuso, even when we say baruch shem kivod malchuso. But we Bizman Hazeh do not have a real appreciation of Kivod Malchuso. And in fact, this is a very popular medrash. The difference between the wings. Chazal take note that there were difference of number of wings in the vision of Yeshaya versus the vision of Yecheskel. When Yeshaya, when he saw the Merkava, he saw there were six wings. When Yecheskel saw the Merkava, he only saw four wings. And what's the difference? The difference is that when Yeshaya saw the Merkava, there were six wings corresponding to Baruch Shem Kivod Malchuso Li'olam Voed. When Yecheskel was after the Chorban, he only saw there was no longer Kivod Malchuso. The Kivod Malchuso Kadosh Baruch after the Chorban was diminished, so the Malachim were downgraded, two of their wings were diminished. This is Chazal say. So it's the same thing, but it's more than that. The entire expression, being that we do include in the expression Kivod Malchuso, we can't say it for real. Because being that we live in a world of Golos, we live in a world of Hester Panim, it's impossible to appreciate, to see the Kavod Malchuso. The only way we can relate to the Kavod Malchuso is through dimyoin, is through our imagination, is through prefixes, is through this must be like this. The real thing I never saw. But let's try to do the best we can to make believe we saw. And we can take something that we have in this world and try to use this as an example to compare this to that. So therefore, it's by design that the expression Baruch Shem Kvod Malchuso L'Olam V'Ed all begins all with letters which are prefixes, because since this concept is something which a human being is not shaykh to, even only the Malachim are shaykh to really see HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and even the Malachim after the Churban, even they cannot see it. Therefore, that is why the letters all begin with the Dimyonois letters, the letters of Dimyon. Whereas Yehei Shmei Rabbah, we're not trying to do things more than we're capable of. We're now referring to the Kavod Malchuso. We're relating to HaKadosh Baruch Hu the best that we possibly can. So the two ideas balance out. It really is a translation. Yaakov Avinu, he said both. Yaakov Avinu said, Baruch Shem Malchuso L'Olam V'Oed, but we are only able to hear Yehei Shmei Rabbah Mevarach L'Olam L'Olam L'Maya. Yaakov Avinu was holding in another world. Maybe he can actually see, but what we're able to hear is something that we can relate to. Okay, let's go to another idea. This idea is, okay, Yaakov Avinu is presented with Ephraim and Menashe. And Ephraim and Menashe, they're presented, they come in front of him, and Yaakov Avinu says, I'll give them a bracha. And either position, the right and the left, he switches his hands, but before he gives them the bracha, we mentioned, he says, Mi Ela. Let me find the exact word. The exact words. The Eine, Vayom Yishol Yosef, Refenecha, Vayotse, where is... Vayom, okay, Vayom Elahinim, Refenecham. Let me find it. Okay. Vayomer Yisrael el bnei Yosef. Vayomer mi eile. Who are these children? They're not royal lebracha. Very, very disturbing statement of Yaakov Avinu. Just to clarify, Rashi says mi eile meheichon yotzu eile she'enan ru'uyin lebracha. Where do these children come from? Further, Rashi says, "Bikesh levarcham v'las v'nistalka shchina mimenu l'fit she'asid Yeravam v'achav lotzeis me'Ephraim v'yehu banav mimenashe." Okay, what is Yaakov? What is his response? Sayom Yosef alaviv bonaihem asher nosan li Elohi Elokim bozeh. Hashem gave me this gift. Bozeh. Hear this, Rashi. What's bozeh? Kerelo shtar erisin shtar ksuba. Ubikesh Yosef Rachamim Aladavar Vinokal of Ruch Kodesh. Bishlama Hidavin, okay, fine. Here's the try this at home. It's not gonna work. My inyan Shmita Eitzel Har Sinai. Yaakov Avinu does not want to bless these two children because he sees Al Pi Ruch HaKodesh, they are troublesome, they're problematic. I have a ksuba. Look, on the wall, I got married, I had a nice wedding, I'll show you the video. And there's a ksuba, I'll tell you, got all the kibudim, here's my ksuba. So what? What Yaakov Avinu didn't know, 5 minutes ago, that Yosef HaTzadik got married, called the Kedas Moshe V'Yisrael, even though Moshe didn't exist yet, Kedas Moshe V'Yisrael, with a ksuba and a shtar erisin. Of course he knew. Osnas, Bas Potifera. It was Yaakov, his own granddaughter, exactly. So what, he didn't know this. Until now, this is the first time it was revealed to him that he's a ksuba. So what is going on? I'm showing you a ksuba, and this is going to solve the problem. So the answer, the Farshim answered in the Chanami, who says in the ancient times they had a ksuba, they had a shtar erisin, they did not have a ksuba. So the ksuba means there's an added degree of kedusha to the wedding, and therefore you can give a brachas deep down. Good things will come from them. Okay, they're a mahalach. I want to say a different mahalach. I want to say a mahalach. Yaakov Avinu said to his two children, said to Yosef, your two children are here, they grew up all these years without me, and I assume he gave them a good chinuch, but I'm sorry, I see up in Ruach HaKodesh, they're not Roy Lebracha. In essence, what I'm trying to say is, this is shocking, Yosef said to you, you don't want to give my children a bracha? What about you? Were you Roy Lebracha? You got the bracha from Yitzchak. Were you royal the bracha? Shocking thing to say, right? How dare you have the chutzpah to say to your father, you were a brother with Esav. And the time came when Yitzchak was going to give the brachas. And who got the brachas? You, my father, you got... Were you royal the bracha? You weren't royal the bracha. Esav was the one that was supposed to get the bracha. So you just had good connections. You had good connections. Someone knew how to switch to Sikilas Yadav. Bo'achicha b'mirma with chachma. Would Yosef have the chutzpah to say such a thing to his father? Of course not. But he did something very close. When it came time to give the brachas, who's the one that... And Yitzhak wanted to give the bracha to Esav. Who's the one that pulled the fast one?
Rivka.
But what was the tanai of receiving the bracha? The tanai was, Asay li mat amin. Prepare for me delicacies. How is Yaakov going to prepare delicacies for Yitzchak in such short notice? So what does it say in Rashi? Kach li misham shnei gidoye izim. Rashi says, it's mine, I have a ksuba. It's written in my kisuba, I'm entitled to take shnei gidoye izim every single day. So therefore, even though you, my son Yaakov, you're not skilled in going out to the field and hunting, and there's no time anyway, because the time you go out to hunt, your brother Esav is much quicker, he'll go and he'll hunt, will come much quicker. So let's save time. And the way we're going to save time is, I'll make the matanim, and it's not gezel, it's not going to be a mitzvah haboba avera, a bracha, because I'm entitled for my kisuba, kachli, Rashi, and the words kachli and Parsh told us from the kisuba. In other words, what is he basically saying? He's saying, this is what I want to try to bring out the idea. Yaakov Avinu, he looks at Ephraim of Menashe and he says, I'm sorry, I don't know these children. They're living here in the Erev HaSaaretz for all of, how many years was it? It was many, many years. 20 years? How many years was it? How are they living until we saw them?
Was it?
Oh, how long
are
they?
Yeah.
Well, they can't be more than they were born right after he became king. Let's say.
So how many years that?
So
it was 12 years later.
So 32, 7 years maybe.
30, how many?
13. In other words, when Yaakov died.
From the time that Yaakov Avinu saw, how old was Ephraim and Menashe when Yaakov Avinu saw them?
It was 13 years. It was 31.
7 to 8 years old.
Okay, so here, I don't know these children. 8 years have gone, they've grown up in Egypt, in the Erev HaSaaretz. I don't trust you. I don't trust them. I can't. And as far as I see, it's no good. The horoscope is no good. It's not good what I see. So what did he say? In essence, what was he saying? He said, let me ask you a question, my father. You don't trust them. When you give a bracha, sometimes you have to take a step back and trust someone else who knows better. When it came time for you to get the bracha, your father didn't trust you. Your father Yitzhak said, you're not royal lebracha. The one that's royal lebracha is Esav. You're not royal lebracha. What happened? What happened was, I put you, Yaakov, you who received the bracha, even though you weren't royal lebracha, you put your faith in your mother. You also must have agreed with your father, I'm not royal lebracha. I should pull off this scheme and disguise myself and go steal the brachas. The answer is, even though Yaakov, you put your faith in someone who knows better. Who knew better? Who had the Bina Yisera to know better? Rivka. You, Yaakov Avinu, when you took the brachas, it was not done with seichel. It was done because you put your faith in someone who knew better. It was not with das, with faith and muna. So to now, trust me. I know my children. I raised them for 8 years. They're tzaddikim gemurim. So you see in the stars, you see something, there's going to be a Yehu, there's going to be a Menashe. You see Yehu, Bonav. So big deal, so you see something that's not so good. But believe me, ultimately, great, great things will come. That's the meaning, the deeper meaning. I'll be Derech Drush and why he shows the Ksuba. Who are, I don't, I, that was review. I don't trust these children. I don't know them. If I knew them for 8 years, I watched them grow, I'll trust them, especially when there are telltale signs that things are no good. I'm not going to give a bracha. He showed the ksuba. The ksuba was a very polite way of saying, and why did you take the brachas? Were you roy for the brachas from your father? Your father said you're not roy for the bracha. So what more do you possibly want? The answer is, you put your faith in someone else who knows better, in Rivka. Rivka was only able to manipulate, to give the brachas because of the ksuba. She had a ksuba. Kachli mishom shnei gedoyizim. So therefore, Yaakov says to Yosef, Yosef says to Yaakov, trust me. Do you trust me? I raised them for 8 years. And therefore, they're royal bracha, and he gave them the bracha. This is...
Well, we don't know that Yitzchak felt that Yaakov was not roy. We just know that Esau was more roy.
We just know, well, according to the rules that what Yaakov presented, this was the Mesorah. Esau's going to get the bracha. That's it.
Right, but I'm saying that's not... doesn't show anything about what he thought of Yaakov in terms of him getting a bracha.
All right, but similar. It's similar enough. It's similar. I think it's similar. This is the way it was supposed. Al derech hatzeichel. This is the way it's supposed to be.
This is the Maria Ephraim, right?
The koilo. This is the koilo. Okay. Okay, now let's go to some, we're running out of a few short little things. Okay, this is good for the koilo. This is what is a perfect verse. It's very simple, but this is not my word. I saw this and I said, I don't know why I saw this. In this we have the Birchas Yaakov. One of the Birchas Yaakov is Yisochar Chamor Gorem. Roy Veit Spain Hamishpasem Vayar Menucha Kitoiv. Why do we compare Yisochar to a Chamor? Why not compare Yisochar to a Sus? A sus is even stronger than a chamar. A sus carries people. A sus can travel long distances. A sus can go horse. You know, two different animals, a horse. They did? They didn't? Sus paro. What are you talking about? The chariots of paro, they had these exotic horses. Anyone that took a horse out of Mitzrayim was killed. They didn't allow the horse to leave. They had the exotic horses. The best... What? They pulled chariots. They pulled chariots. Horses pulled chariots which had on them heavy loads.
But Rashi says
oh, so what's the significance? I don't remember where I saw this. There's a very big difference between us, between a horse. L'chora, if you were giving the brachas, you would not compare Yitzchak to a donkey. A donkey is not from the most covetic animals. Okay, a sus, ah! A sus is a beautiful animal. Today they make a lot. Today it's probably a mashu of what it used to be. The beauty of a horse. What?
Bilam
rode on a donkey. So what is the answer? There's a very big difference. And this is the very sus. When a sus rests, you take the packages off its back. When the sus, it comes time to give a rest, the horse, you unhitch it from the chariot. You take off the packages. You let it rest. The derech of the chamor is to sleep with the packages on its shoulder. You never take the packages, even when it's a time of menucha. And that's the mashal. That is the bracha that Yaakov Avinu gives to Yisachar. Yisachar represents the Talmud Chacham. A true Talmud Chacham is someone that even when he goes on vacation, even when he has time off from work, what does he do? He still roivates. He's still with his mamas. What the pasuk says, roivates. Made mishrosayim. He still carries the package, the burden of Torah, the old Torah goes in even during the time of Menucha. Yeah. This is the essence of a Yisachar. Okay, another quick vart. Okay, this vart, Yaakov Avinu was Bikesh, Legalois, Esakets. He wanted to reveal the coming of Mashiach and Nistalka Hashchina. So he did. So basically, he didn't reveal the kates. The advantage is there's an advantage and a disadvantage of knowing when Mashiach will come. The advantage is to prepare. If you know when Mashiach is coming, you can prepare. The disadvantage is that if it's not coming in your lifetime, or it's coming at a time which is then you'll give up. You'll be miyayish. Yaakov Avinu felt that the advantage of knowing when it's going to come would be was more important. The people should know when it's coming so they can, the generations can basically prepare for the coming of Mashiach over time. And he wanted, but the Shechina was nistalik. So the question is, if the Shechina was nistalik, so why bother telling us? This is something that typically you would read about in a Medrash. In a minute, she would read that you know that Yaakov really wanted to be Megala the Kates, but the Shekhinah departed. The pasuk is so explicit. Hey Osvu v'yagida lochem eis asher yikre eschem b'achris hayamim. Come together, and I will reveal to you what's going to happen b'achris hayamim. And then a big blank. The curtain closes. It's not the derech of the Torah to do this. Either tell me, either or don't. If Yaakov wanted to reveal and he was unsuccessful, so don't even bother telling me. It's not the style of the Torah to get you going and to leave you hanging in the middle of nowhere. So what's going on over here? It's a very difficult. We brainwash. We read the pesukim over and over, but it's a really very difficult question. Manavshach. So the answer the answer is, I don't know if I saw this somewhere or I didn't see this somewhere. I don't remember exactly. It's true. I saw something which triggered this thought. Is Yaakov Avinu? He gave Klal Yisrael something even more valuable than knowing where Mashiach is. He revealed to them that it's kedai to want to know where Mashiach is coming. One of the animamim is animam b'munush nevabiyas b'shach al pishis im kol ze achakel lo b'chol yom sheyavo. You should want. Well, that's one of the principles, the Rambam's 13 principles of faith, is that being a Jew, an observant Jew, means you want. What Yaakov Avinu gave them, more important than the date, he gave them, he showed them, he demonstrated, by doing what he did, he put into their DNA every member of Klal Yisrael, B'kesh Yaakov Legalois Esakets. Every member of Klal Yisrael is a Yaakov, is the Me'ein of Yaakov Avinu, is B'kesh Legalos, to reveal the Kates, to bring Mashiach. Forget about Mashiach coming. It's part of Yadus to warn Mashiach to come. This is the greatest bracha, the legacy that he gave to Klal Yisrael, this midah of Bikesh Legalos. Yaakov Avinu Loimes. Chazal say, at the end of the parasha, it says pretty clear that he died. Right? They eulogized him, they mourned for him, they buried him, they embalmed him. Yaakov Avinu Loimes. So the answer is a very simple answer. It says over and over in the Torah, in this last week's parasha, this week's parasha, Vayikrivu Yimei Yisrael Lomos. Yisrael was coming close. Vayomer Yisrael Amuso HaPoam. I can die now. It says over and over, yeah, I think it's like three or four, maybe four or five times, it mentions the words Anochi Mes. There are many, you have to go through the Pesukim, you'll see them when you're laying all the various Pesukim. It does say Misa by Yisrael. But it doesn't say Misa by Yaakov. We know that Yaakov has two names. Yaakov and his lo yikari oy shimcha Yaakov ki Yisrael yeshemecha. What's the difference? Yaakov represents the struggle of life. It represents Klal Yisrael, the time of Golus, the struggle. Vayivoser Yaakov levado. Vayiovek ish imo ad alois hashachar. Yaakov is all alone. Yaakov, he wrestles with the Satan ad alois hashachar. And when he prevails, Yisrael. Yisrael Meis. In Golos, we don't have the Madrega of Yisrael. That has been taken away from us. There's a Churbin, there's Golos, there are Tsaris, there's Hester Panim. Yisrael is Meis. The Tchias HaMeisim. Listen, Amuna, Amuna. The Nesham of Yisrael will come back. The Shlemus of Klal Yisrael will come back. But Chazal have shown us that nowhere does it say in the Torah that Yaakov is Meis. Yaakov is the Koyach in Klal Yisrael to survive. It's the Koyach Vayiovek Ish Imo. It's the Koyach to prevail. To be oimed in the difficult nisyonos, this koyach in Klal Yisrael loimes. Always can oimed to Yisrael. No, we're not what we used to be. This is the deeper meaning of Yaakov Avinu loimes. He's with us. We have the koyach to prevail and overcome any difficulty that comes our way. Have a wonderful Shabbos.